This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, December 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The weekend's almost here, and plenty of us will spend at least part of it watching a favorite TV show or a movie. But if you've noticed lately you're having a hard time hearing what the actors on screen are saying, you're not alone. More people are turning to closed captioning just to understand what's being said when they flip on the TV. It's like we're all having hearing problems. So what's behind the muddled audio? On today's show, Cordelia James from our personal tech team will be here to explain the audio tech in our TVs and why it seems like sound quality is getting worse, not better. That's after these headlines. Starting in Washington, where senators say the collapse of cryptocurrency exchange FTX shows it's crucial to pass legislation overseeing the crypto industry. Their comments came at a Senate Agriculture Committee hearing on Thursday, where Ralston Benham, chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, was the lone witness. He told lawmakers his agency needs more authority to write rules and oversee crypto trading, including forbidding exchanges from having affiliated entities that trade with customers on the platform, as FTX did.
Failure to act will leave consumers who have made investments in digital commodities largely unprotected. Unlike other federal financial regulators, the CFTC lacks the necessary and direct authority to write rules and to oversee this marketplace. Instead, we may only reach it through more limited authority activated when fraud or manipulation has already occurred.
Among the people who've raised issues with the legislation is Gary Gensler, head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. In recent years, his agency has staked a claim in overseeing many crypto assets and firms. Last month, he said the bill's approach to trading platforms would undermine investor protections. We report exclusively that Twitter is offering generous incentives to advertisers to get them to increase their spending on the platform. Sources say it's an effort to jumpstart Twitter's ad business, which has seen a pullback since Elon Musk took over. Under the new plan, advertisers who book at least $500,000 in incremental spending will qualify to have their spending fully matched, up to $1 million. Smaller amounts of spending would qualify for a lower matching amount. That's according to a company email to ad agencies that was viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Staying with Musk, his electric vehicle company Tesla delivered its first all-electric semi-truck yesterday to food and beverage maker PepsiCo. The move marks a long-delayed expansion of vehicles beyond passenger cars for Tesla. The Semi, which the EV maker says has an estimated range of 500 miles, was originally due out in 2019. Neither Tesla nor PepsiCo responded to requests for comment on the number of trucks ordered or their price tag. In October, Musk said Tesla is aiming to produce 50,000 semi-trucks in North America in 2024. For now, output remains limited due to supply chain constraints. Meanwhile, at an event on Wednesday, Musk said his neuroscience startup, Neuralink, should be ready to test its brain implant technology on humans in 6 months. He said the company has submitted most of its paperwork to the Food and Drug Administration, which oversees medical devices, and that it's working to address FDA concerns about the implant overheating or seeping toxic chemicals into the brain. During the event, Neuralink played a video of a monkey that Musk said was using a brain implant to move a cursor to type out letters on a screen. Not that the monkey could spell properly. But Neuralink and other companies are already working on the next generation of devices that can not only receive brain signals and turn them into commands, like type, but also send signals to the brain to, say, restore our senses or help with movement. Our science reporter, Daniela Hernandez, has more.
That opens up a range of applications like restoring sight and touch and other complex behaviors, but it also opens up a really big can of worms in terms of ethical questions, because then you can begin to think about people putting thoughts or memories in your brain, and then you kind of get into this dystopian universe. Now, that's very far off into the future, but that's what neuroethicists worry about with devices like this.
And ties between Washington and Beijing are fraying, but Chinese startups are still trying to find ways of expanding in the U.S. market. Many are driven by a slowing economy in China and uncertainty around the government's zero-COVID policy. Others are just looking to have a global presence. Our Hong Kong-based reporter Karen Hao says they're coming up with strategies to avoid any backlash from their associations with China.
One of the most dominant ones is actually moving their headquarters outside of China or starting an entity to be the face of their global business outside of China as well. And a very popular destination for that now is Singapore, because it's considered a very neutral country that has both a good relationship with China and the U.S. But there's also things such as changing their names. Like when they enter the U.S. market, they go under a different name. They are sort of just legally restructuring themselves to have a totally different management team so that they can say to people that their executives are not in China. So there's just generally both a legal and a public perception distancing away from their Chinese origins to try to access some of these global markets more easily.
All right, coming up, technology has allowed TV and film directors to make ever more creative decisions when it comes to sound. But what does that mean for how we actually hear the results? We'll discuss. That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
More TV viewers, especially younger ones, are using closed captions. And not necessarily because they're hard of hearing. It's just that the audio often sounds muddled. But shouldn't the audio technology in our TVs improve how shows sound? Or at least let us understand what the actors are saying? Joining us to discuss what's going on here and how you can have a better TV listening experience is WSJ Personal Tech Reporting Assistant Cordelia James. Hi, Cordelia. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Zoe. Thank you so much for having me.
I want to understand what is happening here. I mean, a lot of us have been told that the reason we can't hear our TVs well is because of the speakers. Is it just that simple?
It is not, actually. So even though there is a good reason why people do say that it's because of their speakers, you know, as TVs have advanced a lot more, they've gotten tinier, thinner, the speakers are usually either towards the back or facing downwards, which is directing the sound anywhere but towards you. However, there's actually other reasons, from production issues to just how the sound will actually be compressed into your device, depending on whatever it is that you're watching something on.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those issues. I mean, when it comes to the technology that's playing out the sound, the dialogue in your television, what's changed here?
So the good news is that technology that comes with sound mixing has just gotten so much more advanced. So sound mixers, those that kind of combine everything that you hear in a movie, TV show, the dialogue, the music, the sound effects, everything, they have a lot more room to play around with combining all of those sounds. However, when it comes to like the more channels you have, the more like the high quality systems that you're mixing something for, that gets compressed so that way it can also be played on smaller sets, such as like stereo speakers or mono speakers, so that's two or one speakers respectively. And so when you have so much coming out of such a little bit of sound, what you often have is like overlap, which makes things a lot harder to hear, a little bit more muddled, because there's not many places for that sound to go.
Okay, so we've got all this sound playing out at once, and I guess we have maybe more sounds in our TV and movies than we maybe did a few years ago or, you know, decades ago. But how are sound engineers working in TV approaching this?
So the hard part about it is that, based on what I heard from the sound engineers I spoke to, is that they don't necessarily have that much of a creative say in the way that sound will ultimately appear in the film or movie that they're working on. That's often up to the director, who will be like, oh, well, we actually want to make this sound even larger than life. So what often happens is, even though sound engineers are saying, hey, like, there's all these explosions happening, the dialogue isn't necessarily at the forefront of this, the director's like, hey, well, if you were an actual explosion, you probably wouldn't be able to hear the person next to you anyway.
I mean, it does often feel difficult when you're watching, you know, an action scene to hear what people are saying in particular. But, you know, we are trying to follow the story, to hear what's going on. So is there a way that people can improve their sound if they want to be listening at home?
Yeah, there are so many different ways or different things that you can try. Doesn't necessarily guarantee that it'll sound a lot better. Number one, I guess the most cheapest option that you can do is just look at your setup. If you have a TV that has backward-facing speakers and you're hanging up on your wall, then of course that sound's going to get a little bit muffled. So it might be easier for you to either set that TV on a surface that isn't covered by anything that would absorb the sound immediately, like a wooden TV stand or something, as well as depending on like your room size, there are different ways that you can try to reorient your furniture, maybe give yourself some carpeted floors or like some dense curtains that will help absorb the sound on that wider scale so it keeps it contained within your room.
Okay, so rearrange the furniture. What else can you do?
Yeah, so other things you can do, the most practical way and sometimes the most expensive is to get a sound bar. The experts that I spoke to had recommended to at least have three channels, so that way that center channel will give you the dialogue and that helps all of the other distractions kind of stay off to the side. Also, a bunch of new TVs have different audio settings. In your TV's menu, you can adjust some of those audio settings. Doesn't necessarily guarantee that it'll work all the time, because ultimately what those TVs are doing are trying to guess which parts are the speaking parts versus which parts are all of the other stuff. And if they mix that up, then you might end up still finding yourself having to readjust the volume every once in a while.
I mean, what if when I'm watching TV, I can hear it, but the people I'm watching with are having trouble with some muddled sound?
Yeah, fortunately, there are different earbuds that you can use. So, for example, with AirPods, you can link up to two pairs of AirPods to your Apple TV, as well as there are some accessibility features that allow you to use your phone. You put it next to your TV, and then you can put in your earbuds. So that way, the phone kind of acts as this amplifier to help you hear some of the sound a little bit better.
Cordelia, while I've got you here, I want to ask about a slightly different but related trend. You know, a lot more young people, particularly people under 40, are using closed captions, not just to aid in hearing what's going on in a show. Can you tell us a bit more about why this trend took off?
Yeah, so when it comes to closed captions, they're just a lot more popular now than they were in the past, especially among young viewers. Oftentimes it's because it allows you to multitask a lot more. So if you're on the move, for example, or if you're trying to watch something in a space where there are other people, you don't necessarily want to disrupt them or things, it's a lot easier for you to watch it with closed captions. It also just helps you understand the audio a lot better, especially now that people are getting a lot more creative with their closed captions.
Cordelia James, reporting assistant for the WSJ's personal tech team. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.